Let's open to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. And today, I want to meditate on an attribute of God. And so as we read that, that is my goal. Verse 9 says, "And he, Jesus, also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" Let's pray this morning. Father, help us to receive your word and to meditate and reflect, to be able to see ourselves through your word. And Father, we just ask that you give us understanding and wisdom this morning. We thank you for the people here, and we ask for your blessing and your favor to be upon us as we give our first fruits of this day, for many of us a holiday, to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So typically at EMP, what I like to do and what I'd like to direct you to do is to see yourself in this picture, to reflect on your life in reference to this passage. And so here is a passage we know very well. We have two people, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector, a very deep contrast. And you'll notice that the Pharisee, who we all know keeps the law, and he is proud of the law. And in fact, if you look at his prayer, he's not really asking, he's not asking for anything. He's not, you know, he's not requesting anything from God. He's just telling God his resume, his CV, and he just wants God to be impressed. "God, this is my resume, you know, you're impressed, right?" But then you contrast it with this tax collector, whom we all know that is notorious for being dishonest and unjust and just, you know, hated by everybody for unethical practices, et cetera, et cetera. And he has a request. He recognizes his sinfulness. He recognizes, you know, his shortcomings. And he cries out to God, and he asks God this request. And he says, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And so the attribute of God that I want to sort of reflect on this morning is the mercy of God. He's asking God for mercy. You have the Pharisee, not, you know, just asking God to be impressed with him, and you have this tax collector asking God for mercy. Now, most of us, I'm sure, you know, would not identify with the Pharisee, because we're like, well, we're not that perfect. We're not, you know, that awesome. You know, we have flaws. You know, we recognize that. So surely we would not identify ourselves with the Pharisee. We would probably identify ourselves more with the tax collector, because we're fallen, we're sinful, and all that. But I want to sort of submit to you that when are the times do we feel, or does God see us as a Pharisee? I would say it's during those times when we compare ourselves to others. For example, when we have this attitude of, "Why would he do that? I can't believe he would do that. Like, what's his problem? I would never do that. It doesn't make any sense. I would never do that." You know, maybe someone you know, abuses their spouse, or steals from the company or whatever. And here we are, and we're like, "I would never do that." And this is the attitude of the Pharisee, comparing himself to the tax collector. "God, I would never do that." And, you know, I'm just convicted myself just from reflecting on my attitudes compared to these two men. Whereas the indictment that Jesus is having towards the Pharisee is his attitude of, I can't believe this guy did this. I would never do that. I'm so much better than him. And I fail to recognize that my own sinfulness. And then you have here the tax collector saying, God, you know what? I recognize that I'm a sinner. And God, have mercy upon me. And so now as we reflect on God's character, God's mercy is typically manifested in the relief of a soul, relief of distress, relief of torment. And so when, and so obviously this tax collector recognizes his torment, his inner torment, he recognizes his sinfulness, and he's tormented, and he's agonized, and he's asking God for mercy. This is described throughout, you know, the Bible, especially through Psalms and David in his famous Psalm, in Psalm 51, where he says, "Created me a clean heart," after the Nathan confronts him about the sin of Bathsheba. And there's a verse, I believe, in verse 8 that just sticks out to me. Obviously, the "created me a clean heart." But it says, God, relieve me. Let me see if I have it here. David, he feels the pain. Yeah, it's Psalm 51, 8. He feels the pain of guilt in his life as if God has broken his bones. Now, I don't know if you've ever broken bones, but the imagery of bones being broken, that's how painful David feels about his sin. And so I can imagine that if David is feeling that, and if you are feeling that, how much you would want to cry out for mercy. God, my soul, my heart, my spirit is so tormented by my sin that it feels like you've broken my bones, that I recognize that I need your mercy. But if we talk about mercy and what the Bible says about mercy and what God reveals himself about his mercy, it's usually manifested in this word in the Old Testament called loving kindness or chesed. And it means like pity or compassion. And so when mercy is manifested from God, it usually means mercy and compassion. It's the outward manifestation of pity. So in the Old Testament, we have the story of the Good Samaritan, where there's this person demonstrating mercy and compassion to the person that was beat up. And so most times it's God showing mercy to the miserable sinner. You look at the thief on the cross, you know, and he is indicted, he is convicted, he's on the cross, and yet God still shows mercy. And so we see all of these attributes of God, of him being mercy. And if you read the Psalms, Psalm 40, it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined and he heard my cry. He brought me out of the pit of destruction." And it continually talks about God's mercy. In Psalm 103, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. There's that word again, abounding in chesed. "He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." And then it continues to talk about, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his chesed," loving kindness, "towards those who fear him." His mercy is also a covenant mercy, meaning it's for those who are in covenant with him. And as we know, covenant means that he's, you know, the relationship is always going to be there. His mercy is always going to be there. I think of the song "Amazing Grace," and I wonder who of the two men, the Pharisee or the tax collector, who's going to sing that "Amazing Grace" song? "How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Is the Pharisee going to be singing that song? Or is this tax collector who saved a wretch like me? And as I think of God's mercy, and just how rich in mercy the Bible says he is, that's something that is very convicting, in the sense that, are we asking God for mercy in our lives? Are we recognizing just our sinfulness? Are we recognizing that we need his mercy? Or do we feel like the Pharisee, where, you know, I'm a good person. I'm good. I'm cool. I'm, you know, I don't think I did anything wrong, you know, today, or anything too bad. Or are we seeing that in light of ourselves, in light of his mercy. Oh God, it's because of your mercy that you're angry, you're no longer angry with me. It's because as far as the east is from the west, so far my transgressions from you, that you remember my sins no more. It's because of who he is, his character and his mercy. Finally, thinking about how the principle of God is that mercy triumphs over judgment. Throughout the scriptures, you see that concept, that mercy triumphs over judgment. And that's great for us because we deserve judgment, but God was merciful to us. But my revelation is more of, well, what about my attitudes? This is who God is. He is merciful. And through Jesus, Jesus demonstrated mercy. And so now as followers of Jesus, we are also instructed to be merciful because God is merciful. James gives us a harsh indictment. James chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. But for judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy, for mercy triumphs over judgment. And so if we don't demonstrate mercy to others, we will also be shown no mercy, according to James. And so this idea of mercy triumphs over judgment, is that true in my life? Is that true in our lives? This concept of judgment is a legal term. It is the carrying out of an indictment. So when there's a judgment against somebody in a legal sense, there is some sort of action carried out. There's some punishment or something carried out. But mercy triumphs over the carrying out of judgment, of action. And so interestingly enough, as I'm meditating upon this, I share with you sort of not a finished resolution of this idea. And now I'm beginning to wonder, and I don't have the answer yet, so I'm sorry, guys. But if mercy triumphs over the carrying out of action, how does that translate into how we act with others? When someone has violated us or wronged us, as humans, we're more quick to vengeance, right? That's just natural. Like, you wronged us, I want to revenge you. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Instead of carrying out that vengeance, mercy triumphs over judgment. Obviously, it involves forgiving. I mean, that's the Sunday school answer. We have to forgive. Yes, forgive. But I wonder what that looks like. What does mercy that triumphs over judgment look like in regards to relationships with one another? I don't know. Maybe you can pray about that this morning and let me know. Let's bow our heads and let's just meditate on that. Let's meditate on the mercy of God. Let's meditate on our lives and examine our hearts compared to this parable in Luke. Maybe the call to action this morning is repentance. I mean, we should always be repenting. We should also remember Romans 8, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. If anything, let's just spend this time with the Lord and just allow him to, his word and his spirit to speak to us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're not a God of all these rules that we have to follow, but that you're a God who loves us and wants to be in relationship with us. God, thank you for revealing yourself through your word, through your laws, and through your Son, Jesus. Show us the way. Show us the path. Let's sing this together.
sake of you, my King, I'm giving you my dreams, I'm laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. Surrender all to you, all to you. Singing you this song, waiting at the cross, and all the world will see your everlasting loss. Sing of knowing you, the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. Surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you.
As we're singing that song, just thinking about how mercy triumphs over judgment, and you know, there are a lot of things that my child does wrong, and I just want to do bad things, scream, yell, spank, just go crazy on them. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy, 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 God. And I think of how God has shown us mercy, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I encourage you, as you spend some time in the Lord today, just to think of how God has been merciful to you. And spend this time with the Lord in just reflection of that. Let's pray for our community, and let's pray for those who are struggling with cancer, and let's pray for mercy. Let's ask the Lord to just heal them and relieve their torment, and let's continue to pray for healing and mercy for those struggling with cancer and going through therapy and surgery. So let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for those who are sick, but they don't know Christ and haven't accepted Christ. Let's ask the Lord for mercy upon their souls and ask the Lord to open their eyes to see His love and the truth. And so let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for those who are sick with illnesses and how frustrating and irritating it would be. And so let's ask the Lord to heal them and to have mercy upon their situation. So let's pray. Let's lift up those who are looking for jobs and employment and ask the Lord to give them grace and mercy during challenging times financially. So let's lift them up in prayer right now. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's lift up Indonesia. Let's pray for Phoebe Ministry, Pastor Salman and his family. Let's pray for Kupang, which is a church that that SP supports, and pray just for the gospel will be reached throughout this Muslim nation. And so let's lift up Indonesia. Let's also pray for Singapore and the church there. And let's ask the Lord to bless them and guide them. Let's ask the Lord to provide leadership over there. And so let's lift up Indonesia and Singapore. pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, for SP Youth, for SPU College Ministry. And so ask the Lord to reveal himself to our young people. And so let's lift up the leadership and ask the Lord to send volunteers to these ministries. So let's lift them up right now. Healing, unity, restoration, protection, and just feel like the Lord really wants to bless families, and the enemy wants to attack families, and so let's lift them up and pray for families that you know, your own families. Let's lift them up right now. EG retreat happening right now, so if we could lift that up also. But all the different meetings and things going on this weekend in our services, so let's lift them up today. Pray for our house churches. We've got three of them meeting today, Bel Air, Robinson Family, Mac Daddy. Ask the Lord to bring these communities together and that they would experience God in their communities. Let's pray for them today. That you'd have mercy upon us. Lord, we recognize that that we are nothing without you, and Lord, we want to be set apart, for we know that we are loved by you, and that that you are with us, and that you've been faithful even when we've been faithless. And God, we just pray that you'd speak to our hearts, that we would continue to be renewed and refreshed and changed and transformed. Lord, we ask that that we will continue to grow in the knowledge of your love, and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the mercy you've already shown. We thank you that you are with us, and we thank you that you are our Father, our Lord, our Savior, our friend, just thank you for life that you give us. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. I encourage you to stay and pray and spend some time in the presence of God, and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow at church.